He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. We pray Thee, O God, to hear our prayers this morning. And may we be both disturbed and assured by a sense of Thy presence. We thank Thee for the gift of life and for the ability to make life useful and meaningful. We thank Thee for our school, for our faculty, for our students, and for our alumni who are at work at varied callings and who are serving in many lands. We pray for wisdom to see the greatness of our task and for grace and humility to discharge our duties in the spirit of our Master. For those particularly in this fellowship who are ill and for those who have recently known the sharp ache of bereavement, Lord, be with them in a special way. And as we go forth at the close of the week to preach in the various churches and missions and special services, help us to interpret afresh and with new insight the marvelous message of Easter with all the joy and hope and assurance that we have in a risen and a present Lord. Guide us in this service and in this hour, and may Thy presence rule and reign in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I should like to read this morning just a few verses of Scripture from the 9th chapter of Proverbs. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she also hath furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth into himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I should like to speak to you for just a few moments this morning on a very practical matter. If I were producing this little folder that I hold in my hand again, as some of you have heard me say, on the front cover we have these words, a library may be regarded as a solemn chamber in which a man may take counsel with all who have been wise and great and good and glorious among the men that have gone before him. Some of you have heard me say, if I were doing this little piece again, I would substitute for that a verse of Scripture found in 2 Timothy 4:13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. I once heard Dr. Weatherspoon preach on this text here on this campus. I believe it was 1936. He used for his subject values, and he pointed out that Paul could have asked for many things, but he gave first place to his books. And frankly, I wish to speak to you this morning on a subject which I think is of crucial importance to the growth and to the usefulness of this seminary. We can marvel at the miracle which has taken place during the past 8 years under the able administration of President Staley. This institution has had an almost unparalleled growth in facilities, in students, and in service. May I throw in an aside here to remind you the almost unbelievable fact that 1 out of every 6 churches in this state at the present moment is being served either by a graduate of this institution or a student pastor. And may I say also, as we approach the celebration of this anniversary, that it's my firm conviction it ought to be not only a time for self-congratulation, but it ought to be a time for serious self-examination. And unless we can find substantial support for the library, both immediately and for the future, the consequences could be grave. In an appeal made recently by our president to a large foundation, the seminary's responsibilities were named under at least 3 main divisions. This seminary has a responsibility to the largest Protestant group in North Carolina and to 9 million Baptists within our convention. That thought alone is a bit overwhelming. 2, we have a responsibility to the general advancement of the Christian movement by making the library resources available to scholars of all faiths and all denominations. If we can dream large enough and work hard enough, people will come here to use what we have to offer. By providing up-to-date resources of religious knowledge, which will be the basis for the preservation and development of fundamental values in American life in a rapidly changing society. By recognizing that with the rapid development of industry in this region and the consequent revolution in social, economic, and community life, Southeastern has an obligation to develop the highest type of religious leadership. One could mention the research triangle. The South is on the move intellectually. We are producing, for example, young writers with real insight. We're in the process of training scientists and technologists. We must also, for we have a divine commission, be aware of the fact that we are to raise up here an educated and dedicated leadership in the ministry. The third thing that is mentioned is the obligation to research. The library must serve its student body and its faculty, and the book collections and other source materials must be of sufficient quality to encourage faculty study, creative writing, and research projects. The administration and trustees envision and have already begun a broader program that will be of service not only to Baptists but to Christian scholars from countries all over the world. There are only a few great repositories of Baptist materials in this country, none in the Southeastern section. Although our present resources are just beginning to develop, non-Baptist schools in this area are already asking for our help. And this concludes at least 3 of the points upon which an appeal was made for a substantial gift. But this I know, that there will be giving and gifts that the foundations and the larger corporations cannot be responsible for. We must make an appeal, and I think we must face it. This is a part of our stewardship. 3 reasons. The denomination has reached its limit in the division of capital funds. I'm still enough of a country boy to just marvel and have my head spin round and round when once a year I go to Nashville and see the brethren divide up over $20 million in that big conference room. But they say there is a limit. It has to do with the matter of the credit of accreditation, with increasing the efficiency of our library. And as Dr. Staley pointed out again recently, to catch up with the theological libraries that have been in the building for many years. Many other things could be named, but we come to the real crux of the matter this morning when we ask, what can we do? This is where we make the choice between the cloak and the book, or the cloak and the parchment. This is where we come face to face with our own sense of value, for we need at least $50,000 for the immediate purchase of books. We need at least $250,000 for permanent endowment. We need gifts of private libraries as set forth in this folder, and many other things. Now then, let's look at our problem. In the first place, we cannot carry on a campaign in the same sense that a Baptist college or a private college can do or can. We are limited by order of the convention in our fundraising. We are playing the game as fairly as we know how. We have not solicited any churches. We are not asking to be included in church budgets. We are permitted to see individuals, corporations, and foundations. We do not have a staff of sufficient size to permit anyone to give his full time to fundraising. I marvel at how much time President Staley has been able to put in this with all the other duties that he has. But actually, there is no one at present who we could truly say, now this person is giving his whole time to this matter. In addition to this, we must ever keep in mind that it takes almost $100 a day to keep the student aid fund operative. In this, we have been fortunate. And I think we might as well be frank at this point. I have helped to raise more than $1 million for Baptist schools, and the sad truth is that raising money for a library is one of the most difficult tasks. People give money to feed a student, to house a student, and to clothe a student. But when you begin to talk about his impoverished mind, that seems to be another matter. We can talk about sick students and hungry students and poorly clad students and poorly housed students and jobless students and even just students and get something of a response. Nevertheless, too many times when we begin to talk about the intellectual and spiritual needs of our students, this is another matter. So I want us to face it realistically. Our appeal will have to be a hard appeal. It will have to be a persistent appeal, and in some sense, it will have to be a select appeal. Finally, what can we do? We know the need. We know the problem. I think, first of all, that we can make a gift, and I make this plea without reservation and without apology. I think here again, that as we look at the needs, as we recognize the tremendous task before us, we will have to confront daily the choice that we're going to make. Some of us will have to do without less in order to give more, if this is to succeed. We have been thrilled by the response already received. And may I say that this administration, this faculty, this student body, our alumni, all are to be congratulated. But we also must remember that the task is not yet finished. Now, what can you do? What can I do? We can give, maybe only a book. This student body, if every person here took seriously the task of giving one book, it would amount to several hundred dollars. Let me say also that Brother Sistrunk reported to the president recently there are must be $15,000 or $20,000 worth of books on order for which we have no money. All right, you can give. You can solicit individuals in your communities to give. You can furnish names and addresses of people to whom we can make an appeal by direct contact through mail, through visitation, and by direct mail. We have these folders, several thousand of them. We'll be glad to furnish you with one. You'll be leaving, some of you, to go out into the field to work. Join with the alumni in your area who are already at work on this project, and what a thrilling thing it has been to meet with four groups and have them to say instantly, yes, we'll take a shelf. We'll raise $1,000. You go on back to the seminary and leave it up to us. We'll raise $1,000. In this folder and soon to be in the library, you'll see the memorial shelf for $1,000. It'd be given by an individual or by a group. You'll find in this a complete explanation of our need and some suggestion as to why we are having to make this appeal even for books currently. So we hope you will use this. So let me say this morning as we conclude that in this human situation every day we are confronted with values. And I personally believe that there is no greater task to which we may address ourselves for these next 2 or 3 years than to strengthen the teaching program in the seminary, the study program, the research program, through adding to our library. In order to do this, we must see people. We must ask people. We must convince people. We must be persistent and consistent in this effort. And that's my earnest and sincere appeal to you this morning. Now may the grace and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you both now and forevermore.